There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seeks such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Okay, here we are. It is the 19th of February, 2013, and it is just about 8:01 and 45 seconds Central Standard Time. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but if you're in the United States or we're this part of the globe, every day we're picking up between 45 seconds to about 92 seconds of sunlight, which means every day is a little brighter than the last. I want to welcome you to the Abiding Presence if this is your first time listening. We're going to try something different this evening. Usually I start off the show posing you a question or giving you a philosophical view to consider that kind of sets the show up. Tonight, what we're going to do is we actually didn't even plan it or really talk about it that much. We're going to do something that has been constantly requested, actually weekly. The show is about a year and, what is this show? How long is the show? Year and a half?
Year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Probably just about every, at least once a week for a year and a half, someone says, you should record, what you guys talk about before the show airs, because we always refer to it.
Right.
And so if this fails, it's your fault, because you said, well, why don't we do that? So this is what we are going to do tonight. We're going to invite you to listen in to just a kind of the way Jim and I talk to each other. And but I don't want you to sit back on your hands. We've got instant text messaging. And we have emails, and we're going to read those, and we want you to ask questions. We want you to participate, to agree or disagree. To email the show is very simply just all one long word with no spaces or capitals, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Now, instant text messaging is a little different. You have to start off your text message with this word, no capitals, no spaces, J-I-M-B-J, Jim B-J, and then Jim B-J, I'm listening. And then you send it to this five-digit phone number. There's no one. There's no area code. It's just 69302. Just 69302 is what you send your typewritten text message to. It'll show up here on the screen in the barn. And we've got a couple of emails that have come in the last hour or two since you've been here, and this one's kind of interesting. This is from Pajama Girl Marina in England.
Good.
And she's had enough of you.
Well, that's possible.
It says, hey, Jim and BJ, and all the listeners, because, you know, people have said hello to her.
Right.
And they know that she sets her alarm clock and she gets up in the middle of the night. So this is addressed to all of us. Hey, Jim and BJ and all the listeners. I'm not listening live tonight. It's time I start to wean off myself from the show and put into practice what I've learned. I'm going on a mission trip to Latvia, and I'll hear you after 2 weeks with lots of testimonies. Enjoy the show, everyone. Love, Marina.
Oh, that's really good.
Is that really a country, Latvia?
Yes, it is.
Seriously, you know that?
Yeah.
Huh. Can you get there with a gun, a dog, and a pickup truck? Probably not.
Probably if you're over in that area, you can.
But I mean from here, the ranch?
No, you can't.
Well, then...
There's a lot of water in between here and there.
Well, then me and Ranger will just have to stay home. But yeah, this is... She's going to Latvia, and I guess she's not listening tonight, but she wanted... I thought that... You know, that was very thoughtful of her to send that to everybody.
I like your thought process there, too, though.
We got another email here. It says, Jim and BJ picked one of the archives to listen to. She says, show number 37 on June 6th. I have loved all the shows, and the last few shows have been great. But for new listeners, number 37 is so great. I don't even know what show that is.
I don't either. I wish she would have elaborated.
Well, I just have to, yeah. That's really bad when we don't know previous shows.
You know, someone else said to me this week, they said, I went back and archived the first show, and they said, boy, was that good. And I'm thinking, oh, you know what else they said? They said, oh, you talked a whole lot more in the first show. They said that to me.
Well, yeah, because originally, think about that. That's true, because originally what? I was going to announce the show,
right?
Take it in and out of breaks and do the housekeeping things, and then you were just going to talk away.
Yeah.
And then we, you know.
Evolved.
We evolved, found out that nobody likes listening to you, and so, no. It says, I'm listening now to the archives, but can't wait for the live show in 4 hours. Thank you, and what a value that you have availed all the archives to be listened to whenever, wherever. And then it says, wow, and this is from someone named Lori, so I thought that was pretty nice.
Do you happen to know how many archives we have? Do you have a
guess? Well, I don't have a guess. I can tell you in just a second. We have 73 weeks.
Okay.
And tonight will be show number 74. Now, what's interesting about that is, remember, shows 2 and 4 got lost when we were still at the AM radio station.
Right.
Their computers erased them. And then... show 19, 20, 21, and 22 was during
the Christmas right?
And
first
there was,
year.
Yeah, and there was another time when, remember, our wires got crossed. I was at the radio station,
right.
And you never showed because you thought we weren't going to do a live show.
Right. That was over in February.
Right, but that was a...
Of last year.
Yeah, that was a culmination.
Yep.
So that's 4 or 5. So there's, out of 73 weeks, there's actually 6 weeks of repeated shows,
mm-hmm.
or and two of them were just, you know, gone. We just got an instant text message, says they're listening from Town Creek, Alabama.
Good.
And one of the kitchen counter people and other people are listening that chime in regularly. Okay, I think we're... Did you want to know anything else, or was that it about the site?
That was it. And you know, we probably want to... well, eventually we'll need to say something, but on the 12th of... Let's see.
12th of what? Next month?
No, on the 12th. No, let's just scrap that. I think it's a little bit later. There's going to be a show where we're going to be recording earlier because I'm going to be gone.
You mean in March?
On a trip. Yeah. I'll let you know later, but it's a ways out.
Well, yeah.
So.
See, now look, everybody's upset.
Well, no. We'll have a show. It just won't be live when that particular time comes, so. Hey, I want to talk about what we're going to do tonight, and that is something I think some of you folks are going to really love. We're going to take 1 Peter and 2 Peter in the Message Bible.
Is that like Pete and repeat?
It is. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, there's,
that's
there's two brothers, Pete and repeat.
Yeah,
there's two brothers, Pete and repeat.
It could have been that way. We would have saved 1 and 2. Anyhow, we're going to go ahead and take these books in the Message Bible. I just went through today and just underlined certain verses and comments and phrases that I thought were extremely wonderful, because They speak so highly to the things that you hear every single week. And I thought this would be a great way for folks that continue to look at the things that we're saying and doing and feel like it's a little different from maybe what they've heard in the past, and the format's different. I thought this would be a great way to show you that not only do we find Scripture to verify the things that we're saying, but we're going to take a couple books of the Bible and just show you that it's nothing more than saying everything that we are saying. And we'll make comments about the things that Peter says here. So we might as well even get started with that. I thought this was very interesting because the guy that put the Message Bible together, and I know some people would think that, well, it's a paraphrase, but hey, that I found personally, this is my own opinion, but personally I found that the Message Bible has a better grip on the real message. I know that sounds interesting, but it has a real grip on what needs to be said more so than any other translation I've read. So that's just me. So I'm a little partial to it. But it's interesting here. There's a little commentary before 1 Peter and 2 Peter get started. And I like what this man says. He says, the two letters Peter wrote exhibit the qualities of Jesus that the Holy Spirit shaped in him, a readiness to embrace suffering rather than prestige, a wisdom developed from experience and not imposed from a book, a humility that lacked nothing in vigor or imagination. And I underlined the part that said, a wisdom developed from experience and not imposed from a book. And this goes back, I mean, months that we've talked, and every once in a while we'll say some things about that particular phrase.
Yeah, it kind of goes to one of the things that's been the hardest for not just some of the people that listen to your show, Jim, but the thing that's been the most difficult for people that you went to college with, and I guess you would call your peers, is the what they assume is a disrespectful irreverence of me never using the word church and just saying it's a building or a structure, and that just because you're quote-unquote saved and been baptized and you go and have those nasty little cookies and stale grape juice doesn't mean that you're a Christian. They don't,
right.
That immediately closes off their ears, shuts their mind, closes the doors. You know, they don't want to hear anything else.
Well,
and they become defensive. And
yeah.
And the whole point of what you just said is that everything in Scripture, no matter what it is, it talks about three things. It talks about having a relationship with Christ.
Correct.
That's one thing. It also talks about the innocent simplicity of it. In other words, worship for dummies.
Right.
You know, it's a no-brainer. You have
right.
it. It's a gift.
Right.
And the third thing is that it's never complete. It's never done. You never get to. It's like an alphabet that never gets to Z.
Mm-hmm.
You get to Z and you think, well, it's a to Z. That's the alphabet. And they say Z, you're still on the first page.
Right.
Because
right.
now we're going to do two A's, two B's, and next we're going to do an A and B, and a B and a C, and it's like a mathematical formula that
never ends. Huh?
That never ends. It just keeps accentuating itself. And the reason is, and this is where people will disagree, because as soon as you come to the conclusion that that's all there is, that's all you need, that's all you get, that you know it all, that you've done it all, seen it all, well, then you start to do something that is the greatest sin of all.
Right.
Which is you put limits and boundaries on the love of God, which is actually the hand of God, which is the power of God. Because to keep an open mind and to literally have an insatiable appetite or thirst, like you've got a spiritual tapeworm inside yourself, to say, okay, this is great, now what's next? Well, when you have such a irreverent, unreligious like attitude, and you say, okay, this is great, I love it, yeah, now what's next? Well, what greater sign of respect and love for God, then someone's attitude and true heart feeling is, this is great, but now what? What's next?
Right. Right.
Because in that statement, you're literally saying, I get more. You're acknowledging the gift, the price that Jesus' blood paid for.
Yep.
And also when you say, this is great, but what's next? I want more. Is you literally have taken God and Jesus and grace and the Holy Spirit. You've taken all four of those entities and you have made them so real that now you're putting demands on their performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Because you're literally saying, I believe in you so much and I love you so much, you're really kind of running behind. And it's at this point where it talks about a journey, where yes. where it talks about this is the beginning.
Right.
Because so much of religion cannot share this because either they don't acknowledge it or unfortunately they can't acknowledge it. And
yep,
when I mean
good.
They can't acknowledge it, because if they do, well, then somebody is going to stand up and walk out the door and say, why in the name of good gravy have I been showing up here 2 days a week for 10 years?
Yeah, then it doesn't add up at that point.
No.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to read that statement again, because, and then we're going to go on, because we've got a lot here.
Oh, and by the way,
to comment too.
Dave and Barb in Minnesota are listening.
Good, good.
But Dave, Dave and Barb aren't the Dave and Barb aren't the kitchen counter people.
No.
That's their friends.
Right. Definitely comment on what you think about our walk through 1st and 2nd Peter. Anyhow, I want to read that again, because it says that the Peter wrote, the two letters of Peter wrote, exhibit the qualities of Jesus that the Holy Spirit shaped in him, a readiness to embrace suffering rather than prestige, which just simply means the suffering came from all of his peers and from the religious people, his own people. It wasn't, in a sense, Jesus suffered so much from others as it was people around him, because that's how different he was. And then it says, a wisdom developed from experience and not imposed from a book, that speaks so highly of how the whole thing about the scriptures is to remind everybody you can have a relationship with God. It's not about all the scriptures that you know if you don't know him. And the last part is a humility that lacked nothing in vigor or imagination, which simply says Jesus used grace in ways people had never seen it used before. Real, real simple. But this is an individual who's capturing what we've been talking about. So I want to start out here, and folks, listen, the best I can do, because, you know, the Message Bible doesn't always give you the verse as far as the way that it's written, because of how it's written.
Well, so, yeah, but you know what you can do is you can go to the King James Version.
Well, actually,
and read it, and then, you know, because sometimes that makes it a lot easier for people, because most people isn't the largest majority of people have a King James Version?
Yes, they do.
I mean, isn't that the most popular?
Well, I just thought about it. I'm following it now on my computer, so I do have verse. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, right in the middle of verse 3, it says, what a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to life or to live for, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. That's verse 4. I want to comment on that, because that's worth saying something about. The future isn't when we get to heaven. In fact,
no.
BJ, this wouldn't be a song you'd know, but I grew up, this was a very popular, especially back in the 60s, 70s, but it's a song that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Well, look at the brainwashing that it does
yeah.
to you. It says you can't really be happy now.
No, and you're not going to get anywhere, and nothing's really going to happen.
So don't expect your life to really change much.
But see, the way I read into what you just said is,
right.
is that is a that's a recipe to for hell. Because if you don't have a relationship with God now, if you don't acknowledge your spirit being now after you're dead, it's a little late.
Right, right.
And so if somebody says you're going to rejoice in heaven after you're dead, well, then that is just a complete misinterpretation of Scripture.
Right.
I mean, I know it wasn't done intentionally or because of some villainous, you know, motivation, but that is a complete distortion of of Christ, because then technically, the whole thing of being saved and having God in your life is
an afterthought. It's not for here.
It's a waste of time. You're putting the cart before the horse,
right,
according to that philosophical view and song.
Which just goes to show, folks, that look at what that does. It prepares you to actually fail, not succeed. And that's why, like this, it says, including a future in heaven, and the future starts now. Okay, I'm going to go down because, like I said, we've got a lot here. So I want to keep going. I'm going to read now down in, down in verse 7. It says, pure gold put in the fire comes out of it proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. And the reason why I like this is because I like, again, the forward movement. It's not about spinning in circles. It's about your faith producing results. It's about the testimonies that prove the evidence of the victory of Jesus Christ. God's serious about this, folks. He allowed his son to be completely butchered and brutally murdered and be put into hell with all of our sin, not for us not to show results, but to show the results of the power that raised him from the dead. So I like that it says it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory.
And remember, folks, it's all one word, no capitals, no spaces. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com if you want to send us an email, no matter what the email is. And don't feel like your question has to be about what Jim and I are discussing. We're only here in the barn once a week on Tuesday nights. So if you have any question, any comment, please just join, because I don't want someone to feel that you have a question and you're going to sit and wait until we're on that topic, because that's not the point of having instant text messaging and emails. Just got an instant text, by the way. Kitchen counter people are listening, and it says 1 degree air temp.
Oh my, it's cold up there.
It's 1 degree above zero. So that means that it's 42 degrees colder at the kitchen counter people's house than it is here in the barn.
I like where we're at.
I don't know. You know, when it's only 1 degree outside, when you like go outside and you stand and you breathe, if there's no wind, your exhausted hot air just kind of hangs in the air like smoke.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind of neat.
Or on a real misty type of day, it'll do the same thing.
Yeah, and the neat thing other too is when it's 1 degree outside, if there's snow on the ground and you write your name in the ground, you know, with, you know,
right,
when you make yellow snow, it doesn't melt as fast. So you can say like, sorry you weren't home, but I just stopped to say hello with yellow, you know.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, I would do that. I would purposely like not go to the bathroom and drink like a gallon of water and then go to somebody's house and write some long message in the snow. And they, you know, they'd say, who is with you? How many people did this? You know what I'd say? But so, and instant text messaging, folks, is you just start your text message with Jim BJ, J-I-M-B-J, no space, no caps, Jim BJ. And then it's no area code, no one, just five digits, 69302. And I want to check, see if we got any emails here.
Well, while you're doing that, let me read verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1. The next couple of things I'm going to say have a lot of real meaty thought to it. First of all, Peter says, so roll up your sleeves, put your mind in gear. And I really like that, because the more we've talked over, especially the last couple of months, let's just say, or the last maybe even four shows, the more evidence we've been producing of how simple it is to either get off so that you're a click away from the Lord by just a thought, or the opposite would be how quickly you can get on where the grace of God, or in other words, where there's a connection with grace. And it can be just as simple as that thought. I like this. It says, put your mind in gear.
Now, what I like about what you just said is it validates something that I always say. Repent doesn't mean feel guilty. Repent means change direction.
Yeah.
No, no, you're not supposed to turn right. Repent, repent, turn to the left. You know, when was the last time you repented your socks and underwear? Repent, change. Because, make no mistake, everything about being a Christian is all about change and developing. I told somebody the other day, they said, okay, in 50 words and less, tell me what you think Christianity is. And I says, well, Christianity is like a plant. And they said, what do you mean? And I says, well, you nourish a plant with sunlight and water, and you protect it from bad weather. And I said, that's the love of God, is grace, is sunlight, water, and protection from bad things. And I says, and also a plant never is stagnant. Mm-hmm. If a plant doesn't branch out, doesn't get new flowers, doesn't bloom, doesn't get new leaves, if it doesn't grow, then something is wrong.
Right, right.
And I said, that's the problem with organized religion, is that it doesn't go anywhere. It stays the same. Like, how many times on your show have you heard me say, Jim, that you could literally be knocked unconscious in a coma for 6 months, and you could go back to where most people worship, and it was like you were there every Sunday? Because people say, you know, we've been gone all summer on vacation, and it's so good to come back here because it's just like when I left.
Right.
There is no way a real 100% bona fide church would ever, that would be an insult. What do you mean? You've been gone for 4 months and we're exactly the same? We're stagnant. We're not growing. Because God's love is all about growing.
Yes.
It's all about development.
And let's add into that so that people can continue to keep our mindset. Growing doesn't mean numbers of people, although it will affect numbers.
Yeah.
It means the growth of your spiritual connection or your relationship with God. That's what it really means. So when we're ever growing, that means your ability to fellowship with God's grace, to experience God's influence in your life, and to resist some of the things that have been so prevalent in your life, ways of thinking, a learned behavior, that's the progress that you begin to make.
We just got a text message. Somebody is trying to text message the show, and they say, and they posed it as a question. Just seeing if it works for me now. So whoever just texted and your text said, just seeing if it works for me now, it does.
All right, this next one's going to be good. And the first sentence
are,
is...
Are we going to spend the whole show doing this?
Yeah, this is really good.
Really? You think this is good?
Well, let's ask folks, do you like going through a couple of books of the Bible and pulling out the things that actually speak to everything we've been saying? I want to see if people like this, all right?
Okay.
And if we get to a place where we're done, we'll just be done. We'll just talk that, all right? Look at this first.
Are we done?
I really set myself up for that, didn't I?
Are we done yet?
Now I'm coughing. All right. So over here in, let's say it's the 17th verse of 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. That's what I want to talk about, but I want to read the other couple verses after. It says, it costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood, you know. He died like an unblemished sacrificed lamb, and this was no afterthought, even though it was only lately, at the end of the ages, become public knowledge. God always knew he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God, that you know you have a future in God. But I'm going to now go back to the first sentence. Your life is a journey you must travel with a deep consciousness of God. BJ, give me your thoughts on that.
Okay, read that last part again.
Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God.
Okay. This is what that means. Okay, to someone who is practicing what I like to call real Christianity. They really are a Christian. Look what that says. Let's pick that apart. The first four words are what?
Your life is a journey.
Your life is a journey. That's five words, but right. Your life is a journey. Okay. What, and who wrote this?
Peter.
Which one? Pete or repeat?
Pete.
Okay, first Pete. Okay. Your life is a journey. That alone says volumes that never gets acknowledged the importance of it.
Right.
And the reason is your life is a journey. That means that your entire existence as a spirit being is never stagnant, never slows, never wavers, doesn't do anything but develop and go. It's like getting in a car, never having to be tired, never having to sleep, never having to eat. You don't have to stop and go to the bathroom at a dirty rest stop, and you don't have to stop for flat tires or even put gas in the car. It's like a never-ending journey. There is no end. Because those five words say that as a Christian, you have no limits, you have no boundaries. You're not supposed to be stagnant. You're never supposed to be satisfied. You are always supposed to grow. And at the same time, the other thing that it is saying is, if you are stagnant, if you're not growing and developing, and you can reflect on your life of worship and being quote-unquote a Christian, and it doesn't seem like a journey, it seems like you're there, that you've made it to the last letter in the alphabet, you are wrong. Because Christianity is like a spiritual tapeworm that's never, doesn't have enough nourishment, enough food, and it's always hungry, and it always wants more, because we're back to more. Yeah. We're back to the journey.
Right. Solomon said it this way. He said it's like fire that is never satisfied.
Yeah, because fire always wants more fuel and right. always more oxygen. We got a couple texts that says, yes, keep going, Jim. This is good. Keep going. That's another one. This is good. Keep going. This is from someone named Joy. Then we got a big one here, a long one. What do we do if we're going to a building but want a real church? Do we just abandon the whole concept? It's slim pickings out here for real churches.
Well, that's the saddest part.
Well, you know,
all of it.
Do you want to comment any more on that, or does that?
Well,
you want me to read it again, or
yeah, read it one more time.
It says, "What do we do if we're going to a building, but want a real church? Do we just abandon the whole concept? It's slim pickings out here for real churches."
Well, here's a thought, a question, right back to them. Have you ever had some people over to the house and just talked and shared about your experiences with God, shared some things that the Lord was doing in your heart, and had actually more satisfaction than going somewhere where you don't find that there's any forward movement? That'd be a real interesting thought to ask the one that just sent that, because that just shows you that really and truly, getting together with people of like heart and like mind and sharing some things is really, you could say, more productive than going somewhere where there's nothing moving.
I'm going to answer it this way. I want to read it again. What do we do if we're going to a building but want a real church? Do we just abandon the whole concept? It's slim pickings out here for real churches. Well, of course it's slim pickings. Scripture talks about false prophets and about flowery prayers and people misunderstanding things and things going on. And this is a question. I'm going to ask a question back to the person that sent this instant text. It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that you have to go anywhere. The whole point of being a Christian and having a relationship with Christ is that it's whether you're in the bathtub, sitting on the commode, or you're sitting at a red light on a commute to work, Christ is with you. The whole systemic issue of having to go somewhere is part of the darn problem. Because that means that wherever you are now, you can't have it. That means that wherever you are now, you have to go somewhere to get it. That is counterproductive to a spirit being dealing with its parent. I mean, that's like saying that the only time that your children can love you and you can love your children is when you're in the same room.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of similarities also to the first thought that I made when I was talking about the individual here that wrote the book, which his name is Peterson, wrote this Message Bible. He said, a wisdom developed from experience and not imposed from a book. It's the same type of a concept that we've grown up learning forever, which is study your scriptures, know your scriptures. But the Bible, the book, is supposed to give you an experience with God.
The reason they want you to study Scripture and study the Bible and hold on to it with a death grip and hold hands and sing songs is because, frankly, that's all they got.
Well, but that's the same concept with the idea of going somewhere.
We got a...
Because that would be the same thing.
We got another text here. It says, Bible says Abraham was strong in faith and never wavered. So God's grace is more than enough and abounds in us. Then we've got another text that says, our decisions because Abraham had Ishmael. Who was Ishmael?
He was...
Was that his son that he sliced and diced?
No. That was a son from a bondwoman, from a slave girl that he had, because he was impatient waiting for Isaac. And okay. Ishmael is where the whole idea of Islam and everything else came from.
Then we got another text that says, when God's word slash son to him was Isaac. What are they referring to? It says, when God's word slash son to him was Isaac. I-S-S-A-C, right? Isaac?
Right. Well, that just means that was a son of promise. Isaac was.
Oh, so what they're saying is promise is forward movement. They're just kind of agreeing with what
I think so, but maybe they could be a little bit better in there.
Well, I just want to say that one more time, if you'd like to email the show, it's just all one word, no spaces, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Instant text messaging is the first word of your text, no space, no capital letters, just six letters, J-I-M-B-J, Jim B-J, no space, no area code. No three digits before it, just a five-digit number, no one in front of it, just 69302. 69302 is the number that you send your typewritten message to, and the first word of your message has to be Jim BJ. It says, Abraham grew strong in faith and never wavered. He did waver, though.
Well, once he decided to trust the Lord, I mean, he did waver at the very beginning of the command. He laughed.
Yeah.
And the laughter was just his unbelief. But he, over there in Romans chapter 4, it says he did not waver at the promise of God, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Here, I want to get into this again, what we're saying here. Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. Hold on to that with the next thought over here in the second chapter. And this is another good thought we want to comment on. It says, so clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now, like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. I like this, BJ, because this goes to so many things that we've been saying over the months about people have a taste of God or experience a portion, but then they go back into the way that they've lived. They don't know that they're supposed to or they should want more.
They don't have any examples to go with.
No.
I mean, if you talk to the average quote-unquote Christian, you're going to hear stories of weddings, baptisms, funerals in this building for generations. I'm a Lutheran, a Methodist, Southern Baptist, Catholic, whatever, because that's what my family is.
Right.
And people arrange lifelong committed relationships. I'm only going to marry someone that goes to the same kind of a building I do. That's good business for religion. But those are all limiting boundaries, distractions for true Christians, for a spirit being. They're actually stumbling blocks. They get in the way. We got a text message here. It says, so, and this, you're going to want to comment on this. It says, so if your church tells you that if you don't pay your tithe, you're cursed, I thought Jesus redeemed us from the curse. As I understand it, we can't earn.
Well, yeah, but that's under the old covenant that it talks like that. It says, under the old covenant where everything was bound by what? By the performance of an individual.
Right.
Under grace, we've got many scriptures that show it's God's grace that does what? Will give us seed to sow, allow us to give, and you're not giving because you have to. You're giving what? Out of a cheerful heart. It changes the whole scheme of the way that you give and the way that you sow into the kingdom of God.
Okay, number one, this isn't even a building or a structure. If you go somewhere and they tell you you don't tithe, you're cursed. It's like a porta potty. It's an outhouse, a garage, as far as I'm concerned. It's three rungs down the ladder from a building or structure. That's just ridiculous, because the only person that can curse you is yourself. And the way you can curse yourself and be cursed is by your own individual choices. To choose not to try to connect with God, to ignore your spirit being, to bundle yourself up and drown in the world and the flesh, and concern yourself with pain and finances and envy and lust and a whole bunch of things. Well, that is a curse, but that's a curse that is self-imposed. That's literally a self-imposed curse. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're going to burn like a charcoal briquette because you choose to. Because that's the only curse there is. Because if you think that there's other types of curses, well, now you've just blown the heck out of repent. And now you have just literally tried to build a debatable argument that all of your sins aren't forgiven.
Right.
The whole fact that all of your sins are forgiven and that Jesus' blood pays with your sins verifies that you can't be cursed.
Well, this whole topic goes to, and we don't have to discuss it too much more, but it goes back to the old covenant way of thinking and man under a covenant, that there were curses and blessings. And then you come over into the new covenant where, yes, Jesus fulfilled the law and he became a curse for us to set us free so we wouldn't have to be underneath this. So by all means, give with a cheerful heart. Okay, I'm going to go over here to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're just kind of walking through some things for those of you that are joining us.
I wonder if they're still listening. You think this is any good? Because this is what we do when the equipment isn't turned on.
Well, we're going to find out. We'll
just ask me questions.
Yeah, we'll stay with it for a while, and then we'll just see. It says here in verse 11, friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Wow, that's really good. This world is not your home. Well, you know, that goes back to some of the things that we said months ago over in Revelation. That the book of Revelation shows you that God's getting ready to literally cleanse this planet in the book of Revelation and start all over with a new heaven and a new earth. And what does that tell you? It certainly speaks of you can't take anything with you. There's no sense being so what? So given and so caught up in what is of this world. Because to do so would be to turn your back on God and everything that is of your spirit. These are some pretty simple things that we've gone over before, but I like that they're coming through a chapter by chapter by chapter. It helps people to actually relax when it comes to listening to us and realize we're not just coming up with this stuff.
I could be, but I sincerely doubt that I am wrong on this. And that is, I don't think that there's ever been one subject matter, issue, or topic covered in any of your shows that was not instantaneously backed up and verified and actually accentuated by Scripture. Except for when you get off on those wild hair tangents and say off the wall crazy stuff like you do.
What was it even that one thing we were talking about and I had a scripture for it? Remember, Beck? What was that word?
I don't know.
Remember?
No. We got another email here. It says, yes, Jim, we find that we are getting more from talking about grace with our friends than from services at our building. You know, we really need to get Fred on the show from Germany.
Yeah.
See, if it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning for Pajama Girl in London, England, what would it be in Germany? Would that be like 4 or 5?
Same.
Oh, they're in the same time zone?
Yeah.
I wonder if you do that. Hey, Fred, this is BJ. Do me a favor. If you would set your alarm and you would actually be willing to be on the radio show, I got some questions for you. So just send an email and let me know if you'd be interested in doing that. I think it'd be fun.
I think it'd be great to hear from Fred and be wonderful to do it on the radio show like this.
It says, here's another one. It says, enjoying Bible format. Looking forward to having you live in New Jersey next year, BJ2. This is from Rob and Dorothea. Well, you know, my family had the very first livery stable in the Commonwealth of New Jersey in the 1700s.
Wow.
I still got family in New Jersey somewhere, in horses and cattle and farming. Okay, what's your next one?
So over here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Say nothing evil or hurtful, snub evil, and cultivate good. Run after peace for all you're worth. I like that statement, snub evil and cultivate what is good. And folks, this goes to just what simplistically we've been saying for months here. And that is, you have a choice to make. Your spirit doesn't multitask. So either you're for God or you're actually turning your back on God.
Yeah.
It's one of the two.
And it's constantly flowing ebb and tide like tides at the ocean.
Well, it is, and it shouldn't have to be back and forth.
Well, it's not supposed to be, but that's the free will choice of man. That goes to directly what I talked about either last week or the week before, where I said that I don't like how Scripture says all your sins are forgiven, because I think it should have been written all your choices are forgiven.
Right.
Because first you have a feeling. A feeling leads to a thought. A thought then leads to an action. And then that action leads to a reaction. And so it's like you plant a seed and it's cultivated and it sprouts and it usually goes wrong.
Yeah. And in fact, this to me, hearing this, it goes back even to the statement we were just talking about, that life is a journey and must be traveled with a deep consciousness of God. So put that together and see that the more that you begin to face God and begin to move toward recognizing God and being what more knowledgeable and having a greater consciousness of God, the easier it's going to be to have success. Because remember the scripture over there in James that talks about that a man that's tossed by the winds and he's back and forth between opinions, it says, let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all his ways. So the very fact that by our free will we can choose one minute to have God, the next minute to have the world. One minute to have God, the next minute to have the world. The problem with going back and forth like that is you don't make any progress. And the scriptures declare, let not that man think he'll receive anything of the Lord. Building a deep God consciousness is how somebody builds up speed or begins to make progress. And that's where having prayers answered really gets to almost, you could say, BJ, instead of having prayers answered, you don't really have the same drama that people do that are going back and forward.
No, one of the greatest things about grace is that even if you're not aware of it, it's in your life. You're just too busy wrapped up in the world to realize that grace is in your life. And the fact that you don't acknowledge it every single day, all day long, is just a testament to how disconnected you are from your own spirit being.
Right.
You know, just because you don't, if you don't believe in God, or you don't, you've never had a prayer answered, or you don't, you've never seen grace, that does not mean that it's not there. That just means that you're clueless and you need to repent and change direction and figure out why you're not seeing what's there. Tonight, remember I was late getting back to the ranch, and you had to watch me finish up chores, you know, put the tractor in the barn and, you know, feed the last couple of horses.
Yeah.
You were
yeah.
watching me, weren't you?
Yep.
Playing with Ranger. All right. Well, I was in town, and this lady was walking behind a big kind of an SUV that had big fat tires and a lift kit. It was all jacked up. And she was an older woman, and she was really small. And at the last minute, the guy realized there was somebody behind him. Because, I mean, he would have just flattened her like a bug. You know, because you could barely see the top of her head in the, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. And he slams on his brakes, and she's kind of startled, and she gives him kind of a disgruntled look, and she just goes on her way. And I thought, you know, I bet she doesn't realize that was grace. I said, I know it's grace. And so I said, well, way to go, Grace. It's about time you did something. I've been here for an hour. You know, and of course, Grace says, well, I've been doing all kinds of things. If this is the first thing you've noticed in an hour, what's wrong with you, you dumb cowboy? You know, but...
Sure.
But see, people that have so much love and so much admiration and so much thirst to be a Christian...
Right.
...have so much... stuff in the way.
Yeah.
And they don't even know that it's stuff, and
right.
they don't know it's in the way. And the reason they don't is because, as far as they're concerned, that's reality. That's normal. Got a text here. It says, saw kitchen counter people in the grocery store the other day and talked for 45 minutes about grace and the show. And this is from Dave and Barb.
Yeah, I thought it would be. Hey, I'm over in 1 Peter chapter 5.
No emails yet.
And
not
verse
one single
12.
Email.
We'll get some.
Wonder if it's working.
And the second part of this verse says, I've written as urgently and accurately as I know how. This is God's generous truth. Embrace it with both arms. I want to share this. When I travel on the weekends, because people don't have a chance to hear a show like we do, of course, I encourage them to when I travel, but... The folks that are listening to this every single week or go back to the archives or listen to it over and over again, they start to get used to how we're talking and the place that we're going when we talk. But on the weekend, they don't. And this is something that I always talk to them about. I say, you know, when I'm here this weekend, I said, I'm going to take the liberty to speak as accurately as I possibly can. And I remember something that you and I talked about here at the ranch, and that was... Even in answering questions, when people give questions, the answer needs to be as accurate as possible. Because unless somebody is moved to make a decision, you haven't even helped them.
No, part of the problem is semantics and the vagueness of, well, it's okay to be just a little off as long as you give them the message. I mean, it's... close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
Right.
You know, boy, that was a close call. Or, boy, I almost got a point because the horseshoe was close to the stake kind of a thing. Because Scripture is extremely specific.
Yeah.
And there are many places in that book, I'm sure there are, that talk about how easy it is to manipulate Scripture.
Right.
To twist it like a hot pretzel to manipulate people to believe that what they are worshiping and what they have is enough, and that how they should be grateful and satisfied for it. We just got an email. I'm glad we finally got one. And this is, it's addressed to me. It says, BJ, if your life is a journey, where did it start with Jesus? What do you think they mean by that? Like, when did I...
Yeah, probably.
I mean, should I tell them when I was like 7, 8 years old and what should...
You could, because...
Or what about being paralyzed or what? Where do you... I mean, I don't know. What do you think? It is your show, by the way.
I think they're probably alluding to when you gave your life to the Lord, or when you were saved, and how your journey began. But, I mean, there was an influence in of God in your life way before
you and I
met.
Well, that's your fault. It's your fault that I'm saved. I mean, you know, that's...
Yeah, you can
You're the blame for that.
You can blame it on me when you're enjoying heaven for, like, eternity, okay?
I'm not waiting till heaven.
Well, that's something that we're going to cover right in here.
I'm practicing what I say. I'm allergic to hypocrisy. I am blaming you now. I am not going to wait for heaven to rejoice. I'm rejoicing in my righteous indignation, and I'm blaming you right now on what's the date? On the 19th of February, 2013, at 3:03 Central Standard Time. Your fault. Shame on you.
Okay.
I would say I'm going to tell you this. I've always been very, very good with horses, not with people, for probably obvious reasons that are too many to name, but I'm kind of the end of the line when it comes to horses. When someone has me at their barn, they always say, well, if you see BJ's truck at a barn, it means things are really bad. I've always kind of talked to myself, and I've always kind of talked to the horse, and I've always said, they'd say, wow, I can't believe my horse is fine. I can't believe you did this. How did you do this? And I always said, I'd rather be lucky than good.
Mm-hmm.
But my entire life, I always knew that there was something that for whatever reason, I could enjoy the productivity of it, that I just had to have an open mind and an open heart and realize that there was more than just me and what I had been taught by family, friends, and school.
Mm-hmm.
Now that, I guess, you know, it's your fault that I'm saved, you could say, well, that you just described grace. I just wasn't aware of it. I mean, I never wanted anything to do with a building
mm-hmm.
or a structure.
Right.
I said, well, no, they're just, you know, it's ridiculous. You know, I'd rather, if I got to give $5 to somebody, I'd rather just, you know, go to some homeless person on the street and buy them a Happy Meal or something than give $5 to a huge building with wall-to-wall carpeting and, you know. I guess, I don't know if I answered your question or not. I really don't. I mean.
I think she's just trying to see how your journey started with the Lord. But I mean, there were evidences of God all through your life. Did you ever stop to think that that was God?
No. I've always been kind of spiritual. Not like an Eastern religion or Native American Indian spiritual, but I always knew that there was a tie to everything. I always knew that birds, bees, and trees, and bears, and horses, and coyotes, and weather patterns, I always knew that there was that they were all tied together, that there was a connection. And I always appreciated that connection, and I always respected it.
Okay.
And so that's also kind of a grace thing. I don't know. We should probably move on because I don't think I'm doing very good at answering this question.
Well, over in 2 Peter in chapter 1, this is really good here. It says, I, Simon Peter, am a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. I write this to you whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours, all due to our God's straight dealing and the intervention of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master. So there's a couple things I want to point out about this. It says here, I write this to you whose experience with God is as life-changing as ours. Folks, this is really, really good to think about this because think about maybe just take even the last 10 years of your life. How many life-changing experiences have you had? And how much emphasis have you had in your Christian walk that has been experiential? Or has it been maybe just like a bookworm, learning more scripture, learning more doctrine, being able to talk with other people about the things of God from the scripture's point of view, discussing the person you like to listen to the most on the radio or on the TV and their viewpoints of God? Or how much of your time do you discuss with others about your own personal experiences with God? And notice what the rest of it says, all due to our God's straight dealing and intervention of God and Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you many times over as you deepen in your experience with God and Jesus, our Master. So notice, not only does Peter talk about having an experience, but he talks about it becoming deeper and deeper and deeper. And this is wonderful. I'll just share this with you. Years ago, one of the things when I was in healing school, over at the Kenneth Hagin Ministries, I know I started out with, in those first few months, having to use a lot of stories of Brother Hagin at that time that he had and that things that he had accomplished, things that God had done through him. But after those first 3 months, when I realized that we weren't making any progress, and I had a very good prayer where I just really humbled myself before God and said, you need to change me. And if it means redoing me from the top to the bottom, then do it. And immediately we began to have testimonies ourselves, so that really and truly I could get up and speak and share one testimony after the other of what God was doing with me, not just with Brother Hagin. Now think of that, about that for a moment and see how it is with you. Because really and truly, if you were to turn around right now and start talking with somebody, could you share experiences even today with the grace of God? Could you talk about how grace has been there? Could you share how much that you've actually experienced God within the last 24 hours? Could you talk about things that He said to you? Could you talk about a leading that you had? You had knowledge of something before it even took place. You saw God in nature. You saw God working in your life. These are the kind of things that begin to deepen your experience with God. BJ, and it's not the big things, is it? It's always the small things.
Well, it has to be a small thing because negative energy, the devil, Beelzebub, Satan, three sixes, whatever your preference is, has been defeated. He's on vacation until Revelations, which means that if you have problems in your life, it's your fault. You can't blame the devil and you can't give credit to God because it's you. It's about free will choice. It's the Ranger Theory. And people need to really just stand up and say, it's my little choices. It's those little choices. Like you've seen a movie before, but you really like it. And so you watch that movie and you have a hard time getting out of bed and you push the snooze alarm 2 times and you show up 20 minutes late for work. Well, you blame traffic, you blame your boss for being a jerk because it's only 20 minutes and there wasn't anything going on anyways. But the problem is if you look back about 8-9 hours ago, why did you lose 2 hours of sleep to see a movie that you've seen many times before and you can quote all the actors what they're saying? That was a small choice you made.
Right.
I mean, nobody wakes up in the morning 45 pounds heavier than they were a year ago. I mean, that is literally one potato chip, one candy bar, one slice of bread, one French fry at a time kind of a choice. But see, here's the deal, Jim. It's like I always tell you. people don't want to look in the mirror and say, this is me, this is my fault. And what they don't realize is that when Scripture talks about humbling yourself before God, that's what they're talking about. To say, I'm a schmuck. I've made ridiculous, stupid decisions. And I'm tired of it, and I don't want to do it anymore, and I know that grace can help me here. And bam, you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's Christianity.
Right.
Because how can you change direction? How can you repent if you're not willing to admit you're on the wrong road? How can you change direction if you're not willing to say, I should have went left and I'm going right? That doesn't make any sense. How can you be a Christian? How can you enjoy grace? How can you have a prayer answered if you're not willing to make that ridiculously simple choice? Because it's either pride, vanity, or habit.
Well, let's talk about habit for just a second, because I think habit is a whole lot stronger than we know. And I've got a lot of folks that I know that they're really well-meaning, and they want to begin to make progress, but they find themselves frustrated. Frustrated with, if you could say it this way, the habits or the way that they've always done things. And so for someone that's getting frustrated, BJ, that's a choice too. There's nothing about that that means they have to remain that way. They yeah. can make a choice to not be frustrated and to acknowledge God's grace.
See, I knew I was messing up because the person that said, BJ, if your life is a journey, where did it start with Jesus? The same person just emailed and said, BJ, I'm not understanding your testimony with Jesus. Please elaborate. I'm a new listener. I'm almost thinking that probably what I'm going to... They say they're a new listener.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a new listener means that possibly they haven't read theories or for your consideration.
Right.
What I'd like to do to the... And you know who you are because you've just sent me two emails and your first name starts with a J and your last name starts with a W. I don't want to, you know, call anybody out or anything. So what I'd like this person to do is I would like them to read the theories. There's only about 8 or 9 of them. There's only a handful of for your considerations. Read the theories and considerations that are penned by me that have my name on them. And then ask me those questions again. Because I think the problem is that I'm answering this question like someone that's been listening for a while. And I think this person is absolutely right. I don't think they can understand what I'm saying because I'm using words that are in the 20s and 30s and they're still below 10. And so I think that's very smart and astute of them to ask me that. We got another email here that it says, Jim and BJ, Buffett, you found scripture, Jim.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Do you understand what that means?
Yeah, remember, that was the word.
Buffet?
Yeah, remember, you were saying something about a buffet, you know?
Yeah, I love going, you know, because I got long hair, mustache, goatee, and I'm wearing faded Wranglers and dirty boots, and I love going into stores, being the quintessential dumb redneck hick, you know, like, boy, I just love buffets. Sir, it's a buffet. Well, yeah, but it Buffett, that's Buffett, right? You know, no, go, yeah, okay. They just think, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, or like when I go to...
Dairy Queen or something.
Yeah, Dairy Queen for a parfait, I'll say, parfait. Can I have a parfait to go? A what? Parfait. They'll go, sir, it's parfait. And I'll go, well, it's spelled parfait. You know, and but got a note here. It says, just sending you an email since you haven't had any yet. Enjoying the show down here in Mississippi. Casey and Tracy. Do you know them?
Yeah. Remember, they're pastors down there.
They are? Well, how would I know?
Well, I tell you this.
I've never been to Mississippi.
Every time you say their names, I tell you I know them.
Jim, I don't listen to what you say.
Well, there you go. It shows.
Why
right
would
there.
I listen to what you say?
See?
It says, we got another text here. Oh, by the way, we've just set a new world's record for Texas. It was 15, and I think we've got like 19 or 20. I've never heard BJ's healing testimony. Would you share how you received healing sometime. We will. But I don't think it's kind of off topic.
Well, you know what's on
and
topic?
Well, it would be nice if you'd stay. People don't understand how I fight tooth and nail to keep you on topic.
I know. That's just amazing. Hey, when I'm over in the third verse of 2 Peter chapter 1, I think this actually will go a little bit with the question about BJ's testimony, because it actually goes to the Ranger Theory. We might be able to talk about that a little bit, which would be a help to the individual that just asked you. But it says, everything that goes into life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we have ever received. Let's go back over that. By getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God. This goes back to the personal relationship with God, or the Ranger Theory. It's everybody's personal, individual quest.
Yes.
Quest, journey, the way that they travel with God. It has to do with their conviction,
yeah,
their desire, what they really want out of life. And what we've found, I'll just make this one comment, and then I want
I'm sorry.
But what we find is, so many people wait until there's something life-endangering to then all of a sudden say, I want to have a relationship with God.
Yeah, it goes to the, was it a consideration or was it a theory when I said air?
No.
Did I ever write that?
No, I wrote the air theory.
You did?
Yeah.
You know, I want to explain grace this way and explain your relationship with God. And this actually applies to my how I became familiar with the guys. Is the average person waits until cancer, a lump in a breast, a carpal tunnel, an arthritic hip or knee, a car accident, gunshot wounds, stabbing, I don't know, meteors, alien little green men from Mars. People have a tendency to ask for God and pray when their day-to-day worldly fleshly life stumbles and the stuff hits the fan.
Mm-hmm.
And what they don't realize is this, that grace and the love of God and your relationship with Christ is like breathing. No, I'm not going to use breathing. I'm going to use blinking. I'm going to use the eye.
Okay.
It's like blinking. If I said, okay, right now, I want you to tell me how many times your eyes have blinked since the show started an hour and 13 minutes ago. Well, they'd think I was as crazy as you are, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd say, God, you know, BJ's losing it. He was the only, you know, rational person on the show, and now he's gone over to the dark side with you know, Hockaday.
With the host.
Jim's taking him over to the dark side. Because you don't think about your eyes blinking. You don't count. A lot of times you don't even notice. You don't even care. But yet, if someone asked you if there's anything wrong with your eye, you'd say no. Because you'd say, if there was, the only time you notice that you have trouble blinking is when you have sleep in the corner of your eye when you wake up. If there's smoke in the air, a foul smell, it's windy outside, scratch your nose and you get dirt in your eye, there's an eyelash in your eye, you know. The only time you actually think about blinking is when you have a problem.
Right.
But what you don't appreciate is all the hours and days and months and years that your eyelids and your eye are wonderful and fine and they blink uncontrollably and you don't know that they're working because your eye blinks and your eye consciously closes to protect your eye so that things don't get in your eye and everything's fine. Now, take out the eyelid and your eye and apply Christ and grace. If you are a Christian and you have a good relationship, you don't have to worry about things because grace is blinking for you. Grace protects you from these things. That's what I think that people have a hard time grasping. Because to do that, you literally have to let go. Now, most people that have ever listened to your show, Jim, that have emailed us, that have had an instant healing.
Right.
Or stopped listening to the show because they got it. They've all said one thing in their own way. I just finally gave up. I hit rock bottom. I just stopped praying and said, the heck with it.
Right.
If there is a God, it's going to happen. And they say it in their own way, but what they also say that is extremely similar is, as soon as I got out of the way, as soon as I shut up, as soon as I gave up, before I even finished my thought, everything was fine. And the reason everything was fine so fast before they finished their thought is because grace is always there.
Right.
They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to look for it or walk for it. All they had to do was notice it.
Yeah, which is the same thing as we've been saying, which is get out of the way.
It's like finally noticing you have a shadow.
Right.
Well, if you stop walking, if you stop turning in directions, and you just look, you'll see your shadow's always there. That's grace. That's the love of God.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the ways that I look at this, saying the same thing, just using a couple different scriptures, but if you remember Enoch, he walked with God. Well, he didn't always walk with God. I mean, he lived 65 years of his life before he started walking with God. Then the next 300 years, he walked with God. So think about that. 300 years he walked with God, and then he was not. My point is getting to is to say Enoch believed that God is. And we talked a little bit about that before, but it's the same thing BJ just got through saying. If God is and you're not finding him, it's because you're looking in the wrong place. If you get yourself out of the way, it's almost instantaneous that you'll find yourself having an epiphany, a feeling, a thought, a word from the Lord, a knowing in your heart that God is with you, and that's the beginning of your personal walk with the Lord.
We got an interesting email that came in 4 minutes ago. It says, okay. And thanks for the emails. We've now had four.
Good.
If you want to email the show, it's all one word, no capitals, no spaces. TheAbidingPresence@gmail.com. It says, I think because of how watered down Christianity is among most Christians, and with what the norm is among most Christians, they don't even know how real the personal relationship can be with God. And this is signed Casey. I think that's a very astute, interesting perspective to have on things. And if you want to text message this show and you've joined us late, text messaging is just one word. The first word of your message that you type, do you say type or punch or what type?
Type is good.
Type the first word of your message, J-I-M-B-J, no caps, no space. Jim BJ is the first word you want to type, and then you send that to a 5-digit number. No one, no area code, just 5 numbers. Send your text to 69302. You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, I just want to, is this going okay for you? I mean, what do you think? You think the show's working?
Well, I mean, it's different. There's no doubt.
Oh, my gosh. It's like completely different. But, you know, what's funny is that the only reason I ask is because this is exactly how our conversations go. I mean, if I wasn't talking into a microphone and I didn't have headphones on and Ranger wasn't laying down and the fan wasn't turned on in the corner of the room, I'd say same old, wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Seriously, this is just another moment in the barn. Really?
Well, let's keep going, at least at this particular point. I want to share this over here in 2 Peter 1, and now we're going to about verse 3 and 4. It says, we were also given absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Listen to what it says. Your tickets to participation in the life of God. Now, Paul talked over in Ephesians about through ignorance and the hardness of a person's heart, that you would alienate yourself from the life of God. To be alienated means to be a non-participant. It's God's life, it's God's influence that actually affects everything. So notice here it says, these promises have been passed on to you, and they are the tickets to participation in the life of God. But then it says this, after you turned your back on a world corrupted by lust. See, I want you to comment about, notice what it says, after you turned your back. The life is available for us. Well, participation in it is after you turn your back on the world.
It sounds like we're talking in circles, but everything that you've read all night long is basically the same thing. I mean, we really haven't covered any real ground. I mean, it's like just describing another shade of blue. It's all the same thing, which means that it's a personal choice. Whether you want to agree with it or whether you think it's right, it's your own darn fault if you have pain and strife and misery in your life. The thing that you've said that I want to comment on in this is when you read about your own, was it vanity or arrogance or what was that? Read that section again, please.
Okay.
And where is this? Are we still in Pete and repeat?
We're in repeat now. So it says, okay, we were also given terrific, absolutely terrific promises to pass on to you. Your tickets to participation in the life of God after you turned your back on the world corrupted by lust.
Now, is that the, what book is that?
The Message Bible.
Find it in King James once, would you?
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that I think that I feel kind of bad for people that are married or that they live with someone or they live with their family, because whether they want to admit it or not, there's a lot of competition between people. I mean, the whole essence of being married or being in any type of a family relationship is equality and sharing. And that can actually be an inhibitor to someone's ability to enjoy grace, because it is an individual journey. I mean, you can testify to each other, you can share the journey together, but I think people are mistaken if they think that both a husband and wife or brother, sister, mom, dad, and kids, I think it's actually a really big hurdle that if people limit themselves and say, well, if you walk 5 feet, you've got to wait for me. And then they say, okay, now that I've caught up with you, let's walk really slow, or you have to run because I want to run and I just want to walk. That is not Christianity, and that's not Scripture, because Scripture actually says that your own choices and the way you view the world will dictate exactly how much grace you acknowledge, not enjoy, how much grace you acknowledge, right, by your own, right, personal choices. Now, did you find that in King James?
I did. Yeah, it says this. It says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
See, now I like that, because it talks about the corruption of the world.
Which means depravity.
Which means there's nothing good of the world.
Right.
Which means that since the world is corrupt and there's nothing good of the world, and the flesh is of the world, that the flesh is no good, this verifies that you really have to acknowledge yourself as a spirit being.
Right.
That you can't take I can't take my saddle and the tractor and the hay baler and my Wranglers with me. That I have to realize that those are just things that make life fun and convenient, but they have nothing to do with who I am.
So that even goes back to the whole idea with the physical body and how much importance people give it, like we were talking about.
One of the first things I heard you say before I'd ever met you and shook your hand was, you said, life would be so much easier if you could what?
Healing would be easy if it weren't for your body.
If you could throw your body away, there wouldn't be anything wrong.
Right.
And you'd be fine. Just got an email here that came in 1 minute ago. It says, BJ, can you tell us how you go home and see the guys whenever you want to, and how can we do that? And then it just says, thanks. This is from someone named Steve. Well, it's funny because you asked me this question tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Before the show started, you says, well, what about going home? How much easier it is now? And I said, I don't go anywhere. I don't go home anymore. Home, I'm always home. And God is always with me. The only thing that bothers me about that is it took me so darn long to figure that out, because that's what Genesis is. Adam and Eve didn't go anywhere. God came to them. And they walked hand in hand, and they were together and always picnicking and, you know, fishing and, you know, playing frisbee golf or whatever the right. three of them were doing, until, you know, Adam and Eve decided to, you know, start making applesauce and apple cider and apple pie. And
you said they were playing golf.
Frisbee golf. I just learned what that was the other day. I let Ranger out to drain her tanks, and this guy started yelling at me, and he says, your dog's going to the bathroom. And I said, I know. And he says, I might step in it. And you know me. I says, well, lucky it's my dog and not me taking a, you know. And he said, well, this is a frisbee golf course. And I said, what is frisbee golf?
Did he show you?
Well, I just kind of watched with my binoculars after Ranger got back in the truck. And these guys had a little sack full of tiny little dinner plates. And they're pitching them at these metal baskets out in the park.
Right, I've never played, but I've seen them too.
I just, you know, city people just crack me up. The ridiculous things that they do. You know, to take your dinnerware out to a park and throw them at baskets. And then... And then get mad because a chocolate Labrador retriever sees 20 acres of green grass and needs to drain her tanks. City people just kill me.
All right, listen to this over in the second chapter of Repeat. I'm getting kind of like BJ here. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but there were also lying prophets among the people then, just as there will always be lying teachers among you. They'll smuggle in destructive divisions, pitting you against each other, biting the hand of the one who gave them a chance to have their lives back. They've put themselves on a fast downhill slide to destruction, but not before they recruit a crowd of mixed-up followers who can't tell right from wrong. That's something right there to comment on. Listen to that.
Read that again.
It says, but there will also lying prophets among the people, just as there will also be lying religious teachers among you. They'll smuggle in destructive divisions, pitting you against each other, biting the hand of the one that gave them a chance to have their lives back.
Right.
They've put themselves on a fast downhill slide to destruction, but not before they recruit a crowd of mixed-up followers who can't tell right from wrong.
They've just described organized religion.
They have.
And it's like, what have I told you? Remember that one woman that you said, you know, that ought to, you know, hook up with and date? The one we were talking about before the show? And how on one Sunday she took me to 7 different buildings, and one Sunday morning, and everywhere we went, she was apologizing for things I would say. And every one of those buildings we went to, one was a Southern Baptist, one was I don't even know. But everywhere we went, they made jokes and humor about other religious organizations. And they also made inference to, if you're not us, well, no, we're the ones that have the right message. We're the ones that are doing it right.
Huh?
I mean, Catholics think that, Lutherans, Methodists, Jehovah Witness, I mean, you know, Bob's, you know, steak knives and
right.
oven mitts and save you from hell building. I mean, everybody thinks that they have it, which is what that just says. And that they collect people like I store bales of hay in my barn. And it's good business and it's good marketing, but it isn't. It has nothing to do with Christianity.
Right.
I think the two, and Marina, Pajama Girl, is number two. I think No, she's number three, excuse me. The one lady several months ago that said, I'm going to miss the show, but I don't need it anymore. I'm spending time with the guys. My prayers are being instantly answered. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Well, that's the best email. The second best one is Fred saying that he doesn't even get a chance to talk anymore. He just welcomes everybody into the little church, and everybody, I mean, it's in German, and everybody just starts bragging about prayers and seeing grace and what the Lord did for him that week. And he says, okay, well, thanks for coming. I'll see you next Sunday.
Right.
And then now we've got Pajama Girl Marina, who's not even listening tonight, who says, I'm not going to listen. I don't need to. I'm going to Latvia. I'm weaning myself off the show, and I'm going to start using what I learned, and the next time you hear from me, it'll be nothing but testimonies.
Right.
All three of those have the same recipe, the same formula. Recognizing grace, recognizing their spirit being, and they all say one word. I'm doing something.
Right.
I'm going somewhere, and I'm productive. I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's perfect in line with where we're headed. We're wanting people, if this is helping you tonight, it'd be real interesting to hear some feedback on it. I know we've had a little bit already, and we're not looking for, by any means, people to acknowledge us. I just want to know how this is helping you. And the reason why I wanted to stay on this track here is just to prove a point that when we talk from week to week, we are sharing the essence of the real message God is endeavoring to get across with his people. Some would say, well, you know, you don't say give as many wonderments of Jesus. But in a sense, you got to think about it. Yes, we do. We brag all the time on all kinds of things and people's testimonies on the show with the emails and the text messages are always bragging on Jesus and what he's doing with God's grace in their own personal relationship. If you look at this whole 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you see that Peter's doing the same thing Paul did all the time. He would share good and wonderful truths to remind people where they've come from because it's obvious that they've forgotten. But then he would begin to share with them to let go of this or to let go of that or be careful you're involved in something that's twisting your thinking to help you to be able to have a relationship with God. It's not just telling somebody, go forward. It's helping them to see that if I'm going forward, it's because I could have been going backwards. There's a positive and there is a negative to everything that's on this earth at this particular time. I want to read something over now in the third chapter of 2 Peter. And this is really good. It says, my dear friends, this is now the second time I've written to you both letters, reminders to hold your minds in a state of undistracted attention. I'm going to stop right there.
Well, once again, it's just the same thing.
It is.
It's just a different shade of blue. I mean, we're really just talking in circles, explaining it a different way.
But the thing that I'm actually okay with on this particular show, I don't know if we'll do another one like this or not, but the thing that I'm okay with, it's letting people see that it's nothing but what they're always holding to their chest, the Bible. They're embracing it. They're loving it.
But
showing them that Peter was talking all about it, Paul was talking all about it, but he wasn't talking about it for you to spin. They were saying what they were saying for you to make progress.
Well, it's like Betty Crocker's cookbook. It's like a repair manual for your lawnmower or your snowblower or chainsaw. Is that, yeah, you're supposed to revere it and to trust it and to rely on it, but you're supposed to set the book down and enjoy and operate the piece of equipment. I mean, you're supposed to use the Bible as a roadmap and as a recipe to have a connection with God and then just let it collect dust on a shelf and enjoy your relationship with God. I mean, people say, I don't understand. You act like you don't read the Bible. And I go, I don't even know where it is. It's somewhere in the barn. For all I know, it's, you know, the barn mice have made a nest with it. And they go, well, how can you spend so much time with God and not know where your Bible is? And I says, Why would I need a book when I can talk to the guys anytime I want and they're with me 24/7?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense. That's like holding on to your family album instead of being in the living room with your family.
But this is the perfect reason why this show actually has merit tonight. Because think now with me, for all of you who've been around religious circles for a long time, what has been the secret, so to speak, in our minds to any forward progress? It's what? How much scripture you know. Do you see, this is the religious concepts we've grown up with.
Right.
It's the scriptures, and how dare you not have a Bible with you at all times? I can't believe that you wouldn't. How can BJ say that? That he doesn't know where his Bible is? The barn mice may have made a nest in it. Are you kidding me? That would be so blasphemous.
Yeah, it'd be sacrilegious.
It would be, and that's the whole reason why we're saying this, because in the way that I grew up, that's all we had, BJ. We didn't know you could have an right. extremely tangible relationship where God would say more than hi.
We got an email about 7 minutes ago. It says, Christianity is a journey, not a destination. God is like a diamond. There's so many facets. We've only scratched the surface based on where we were before the curse of the fall because of the way tradition and religion has taught us. Yes, thousands are listening, but again, you're challenging their religion. This is really helping people like me who started out supernatural but had my flame put out by religion. There are lots of buildings and structures who are teaching the word, but they don't understand grace like you guys and the absoluteness of God that you guys are experiencing, but that does not mean they reject what you guys are teaching. The eyes of their understanding is not enlightened like you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Because, Jim, as you know, there are many in Word of Faith circles that love God, believe the Word, but was taught to confess it 1,000 times until it manifests. BJ, with your instance manifestation, because you said earlier about loving God so much you put pressure on the realm of the Spirit because of your pure childlike faith, that was never contaminated by religion. Jim knows just based on his travels around the world that this is good news to those of us who are hungry for more and know there's more to experience. I've never heard grace taught like this before. Most haven't, so this is good news, and I'm starting to experience what you're teaching. I want to take the grace of good of God back to my building and structure and show them we don't have to wait on God's grace. He's waiting on us. Most know it's been bought and paid for. They just never been taught how to experience. And it says, love you guys. And this is from someone named Julia. See, I think the most interesting, I think the sentence that really stands out the most here is, I want to take the grace of God back to my building and structure and show them we don't have to wait on God's grace. He's waiting on us.
Well, look at how much tangibility she gives it that she can take it with her. That's perfect.
Well, yeah, I know, because it's like, do you go anywhere without your nose?
That's what I mean. It's like, I mean, I need to take my checkbook.
I was going to say your teeth, but I know a woman who, when I go work on her horses, she asked me, have you seen my teeth? And I say, well, they're over on the feed sack, or they bother her, so she takes her teeth out. So a lot of times when she's holding her horse and I'm working on her horse, she doesn't have her teeth in, so I couldn't say, well, would you go anywhere without your teeth? Because I just thought of this nice older lady who, you know.
So she does go places without her teeth.
Well, she forgets them.
That's really something.
Do you ever forget your teeth?
They're in. They're in there for good. I'm over here in 2 Peter and chapter 3, and now I'm going to be in verse 15. It says, interpret our master's patient restraint for what it is, salvation. Our good brother Paul, who was given much wisdom in these matters, refers to this in all his letters and has written you essentially the same thing. Some things Paul writes are difficult to understand. Irresponsible people who don't know what they're talking about twist them every which way. They do it to the rest of scriptures too, destroying themselves as they do it. I thought this was really interesting, that right here Peter is acknowledging how that people are always trying to twist Scripture, manipulate Scripture for their own benefit. We've said some things on this show. I've preached some of this when I've been out of town, and I've tried to help people see that the real truth of Scripture is absoluteness. And yet today, just like potato, patata, just like, years ago, BJ, some people, in fact, I said this in a service, and some people just looked at me strange, all the younger folks did, but I said years and years ago, because I remember this when I was a kid, you know, you'd say, man, that door's queer. Well, that just meant that it wasn't acting right. It was squeaking. It wasn't closing. You know, it could have been the humidity.
Well, yeah, like I've said before, you know, like...
Words getting twisted.
Well, like, you know, I'm in a gay mood. You know, the Gene Kelly dancing in the rain.
Right.
I'm in a gay mood, queer. You know, words have... It isn't about words. I mean, some of the best things I've ever helped people with were, you know, just ridiculous. You know, remember the guy at your classes, you know, with the, he went to college where you went to college. You knew him, you know, and his neck was bothering him. And I put my hand on his neck and I said, you know, barbecued potato chips, chocolate milk, Kit Kat candy bar, amen. And the people around me just looked at me like I just used a bunch of foul language, like a drunken sailor. And he said, how did you do that? And I said, well, that's your problem. I didn't do anything. And he says, well, what kind of a prayer was that? And I says, it doesn't matter what you say. It matters what you feel.
Right. Right.
And what you think.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so many people have taken what was supposed to be good doctrine and have actually made doctrine become a manipulation of truth or of Scripture.
I have found in my own observations from being at the barber shop and the feed store and the truck stop and, you know, the tractor parts store, that whenever I run into, I mean, because, you know, there are just, I mean, Tulsa has got to be the capital of buildings. I mean, they say that a new structure building goes up every 4 or 5 weeks in Tulsa. There's only a million people in the greater Tulsa area, and there's like thousands of buildings everywhere of all sizes, of all denominations. And so you run into ministers, pastors, youth ministers, youth leaders, senior leaders, you know, deacons and board members. Everywhere you go, somebody is an official in a building somewhere. And one thing that I've noticed is the greatest distortion of Scripture, and when Scripture is manipulated into doctrine, it's usually done to justify verbally something that cannot be backed up tangibly.
It's very good.
They will talk themselves till they're blue in the face. And they will take things and they will take a word from here and a sentence from there and they'll put it together and it sounds wonderful and people say, yes, yes, that's out of the good book. Oh, yeah, go, you know, go, brother, go. But what they do is they put a conglomeration together that basically says, I don't have a connection, I don't have any conviction, and I've never had a prayer answered, but I'm a really good Christian, and I lead a really good life because yada, 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 blah, 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 book, chapter, verse, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Because even Jesus, he'd say, okay, go, you're done, you're healed. Well, I can't see, I can't walk, I can't move. Would you just leave, go home? And as soon as they bought into their Christianity,
right, right.
As soon as they said, well, he told me to walk.
That's right.
He told me to see, but I'm still blind, but okay, I'll just go. It happened. Because it wasn't just, it wasn't about Jesus.
Right.
And it wasn't about Jesus' connection to Christ. It was about the person's belief and conviction in Christ. Because a woman crawled on her hands and knees, and she didn't say, he's got to touch me, he's got to talk to me, I got to have his autograph. All I need to do is touch his robe.
Yep.
I just got to touch the back of Jesus' Wranglers. I just got to touch the Wranglers that's bunched up at his boot. And when I touch it, I'm healed. And she was. Jesus didn't turn around, but he didn't know who she was. He didn't know what was wrong. And his reply was, well, I just noticed grace.
And she did too.
My Father's love just is around me somewhere doing something.
Right.
That's all he noticed.
Yep.
And I don't know why. I don't know why people don't take more importance of that of some of these, you know, situations.
Well, again, it comes back to perspective, and that's part of what this verse is saying. Is people are always twisting and manipulating things, and if there's no progress, you've got to look at it through the eye of.
But
of objectivity and look at it and see something here is wrong.
I was in the grocery store tonight and I was on an aisle that I'm unfamiliar with, and there was these two women looking at a can opener, and they kept taking another one off the shelf.
Okay.
And she says, well, when are we going to find one that works? And finally the woman, she says, why do you want to buy one of these? If the first one doesn't work, why do you think the second one would work? And she says, you're right. So they just left these about three or four, a pile of can openers on the shelf because they gave up because it didn't work. I mean, I've never heard anybody yet that said that, well, I got food poisoning, but I guess it's okay to go back to that restaurant. Most people don't go back to a restaurant if they don't get good service.
Right.
I mean, people want to call an attorney if the mechanic doesn't fix their car the first time.
Yeah.
Why? Because I don't know. Why does somebody hold on to something that has never worked, doesn't give them anything for decades?
Right.
When everything else in their life they look at with such scrutiny and with such absoluteness. It doesn't work, it'll never work.
Right.
It didn't work the first time. I want my money back.
Right.
Why don't they do that with Christianity?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, those are the things that for years and years we've been brought up in circles where you don't ask those kind of questions. But this is interesting tonight. I really trust that folks have gotten something out of this. And the number one reason is it's not that we haven't talked about these things before. And so next week I think we'll go back to some of our format maybe that we've had before, but what I liked about this today is not only was it me being able to ask BJ questions like we do here at the ranch, but also you could see us walking right through scriptures where you see that there's continuity with every single thing we've been sharing here over all these different sessions that we've had. You see the continuity comes exactly from the scripture. We're not deviating, not even a little bit. In fact, the last part of the verse here that I'll read, it's verse 17 and 18. I think it's actually really appropriate for us to end this little Pete and repeat. It says, but you, friends, are well warned. Be on guard lest you lose your footing and get swept off your feet by this lawless and loose-talking teachers. Grow in grace and understanding of our Master and Savior Jesus Christ. Glory to the Master, now and forever. Yes. I think that's a good way to look at how...
I think one of the greatest warnings in the Bible is Genesis. Because they saw God, they talked with God, they were with God 24/7, and he said one simple thing, don't do that. Don't eat it. Just forget it's there. Just don't do it. And they made a personal choice to do it.
Right.
I think that, like I've always told you, I think the book of Genesis and the book of Revelations people don't spend enough time and they don't see all the indicators of you know, what they have to offer. Do you want to say something to music?
Sure. Be good. I want to pray especially tonight. I know there's some folks that are listening that have had some experience here just recently with the loss of a loved one, and they listen to the show quite regularly. And I just want to pray for you tonight that God's peace be upon you and the Holy Spirit be with you. And we know that He is. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll cause your hearts to just rise up with great strength. And you'll know the voice of God. And you'll be confident in His love. And for anyone else out there that you find yourself frustrated in some type of turmoil, let the Lord's peace just give you rest. And for those of you that are enjoying this broadcast, continue to allow the Lord to grant you peace. Because when the grace of God is working for you, there's nothing for you to do than to rest and be at peace. And so this night, experience God in everything that you do. You'll find Him everywhere if you'll look. And you'll see for yourself that grace, literally, is overwhelming. And it's doing things for you that yesterday you didn't know, but today you're finding out fresh and anew that God is with you everywhere you go. God bless you tonight.
Well, what do you think?
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of comments we get. Did we have any more emails that came in?
No, I'll refresh the screen. We haven't had any more emails. We haven't had any text messages in about 20 minutes or so.
We had a lot at the beginning, didn't we?
Yeah, during the beginning and towards the middle we did. We set a new record. The old record was 15 text messages, and I think we're at like 21, 22.
Okay.
And hopefully somebody listened. Wonder if your mom was listening.
I'll find out. I'm sure she was.
Do you think your wife was?
It's very possible she was too.
Did she send you any text messages or anything?
No, I didn't get any.
Well, what do you think? Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I am. And I just want to say this to folks. You know, this was just a little experiment for BJ and I to do some things a little differently. I like that we were able to do it. And I trust that you'll find it very resourceful and helpful. But just be sure and be confident of this one thing. Just like we talked about tonight. Did you get that one? Was it, BJ, was it a text or was it an email that came in that asked the question about going, you know, very difficult to find Slim Pickens, remember, out here to find a church?
It was a text message.
And we asked the question, what about when you talk to some of your friends about it? Remember their reply? We have great opportunities and great chances.
Yeah, it said, what do we do if we're going to a building but want a real church? Do we just abandon the whole concept? It's slim pickings out here for real churches.
And what was their reply when I asked them about, do you talk with some of your friends?
Let's see. Well, I don't know their phone numbers, you know, because it's anonymous text messaging.
Right.
So I got to kind of...
I think they said something to the fact that...
It said, yes, Jim, we find that we are getting more from talking about grace with our friends than from services at our building.
Yeah.
That's got to be the same people.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so that's what I wanted to encourage folks with. Take the thoughts that you hear tonight and begin to talk with somebody about it. Rehearse it. Don't just listen to it once. Hear it again and again. And begin to experience God. It's your right and it's your privilege, like anyone else's. It's not just BJ's experience. It's not my experience with God. It's yours as well. And it's just as important and just as real.
Well, folks, I hope that you benefited from Jim's show tonight. Remember that it'll take me about 10 to 15 minutes to get tonight's broadcast up and streaming, and it'll stream 24 hours, 7 days a week until next Tuesday night's live broadcast. But make sure that you, tomorrow night, Wednesday night, at the Hardesty Library on Memorial, Jim will be there at 7 o'clock if you'd like to meet him in person and enjoy the fellowship. And also, take care of yourselves and your pets. And until tonight's show is uploaded, enjoy last week's broadcast. Ranger, come here.
What was that? What did he say?
There we go. First, I don't know what she said, but apparently she said it with gusto. Good night, everybody. Take care.